Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And we've seen a game of footy won by Collingwood, sending Nathan Buckley out a winner. Cameron kicking four, Majacek three. Degoe was a star. And in the end, the Pies sending him off in style.
Yes, Carl, where have they been? Obviously, their pressure was outstanding today. Their ball movement was good and their skill level up to scratch against Melbourne, who were a bit disappointing today. But it's sad, really, to see Nathan Buckley go out like that, because he's done a lot for that football club. And you just wonder what would have been if they brought that sort of effort and intensity every week. They'd be fighting for finals right now, Carl, and he'd still be in the position. But I still think it's the right call going forward. Sometimes that pressure valve release helps with teams.
All right, we've got Slaps and Sledges coming up shortly, but let's jump into some news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. David McKay sent straight to the tribunal. The AFL has suggested that they're going to ask for at least 3 weeks for his hit on Hunter Clark on the weekend. And Taylor Walker and Ben King got fines for their cracks to the head of some opponents there. I don't know what you think about that, Hayes. Matty DeBoer signed on for a year, and there was some magnificent efforts in the pool over the weekend, wasn't there, with Kaylee McKeon breaking a world record inspired by her father's death. We'll come back and we'll talk about that again very, very soon. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Straight into our Slaps and Sledges for Sullivan Logistics. 3 votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. Hayes, where do you want to start?
I want to start with the David McKay incident that we spoke about with the hit on Hunter Clark. He's been sent to the tribunal. A 3+ suspension is coming his way, according to the MRO, Carl. Where do you sit on this one? Because I think we now have to start to change our views on how the game is played. He was close to getting the ball, but he went in with great force and he was late, copped him high, and he ends up breaking his jaw. Do we have to change the way we view these incidents?
Well,
or you've
in
been
my
there
view,
all the way?
Well, mate, in my view, one bloke had his head down, the other bloke come in front on, jumped in the air and hit him in the head with his shoulder. So that's a bump. And it was worse than Lachie Plowman's on Jager O'Meara a couple of weeks ago. And Lachie Plowman got sent straight to the tribunal as well, and he got 2 weeks on the back of his. So David McKay probably is looking at 3 if I just base it on that particular case alone.
I do have some sympathy because he only just misses out. We're always taught to go for the ball as hard as you can if you're in the contest. And had the ball bounced a different way, end over end, he may have been the first person to the ball, but it's not the case. But I think it is going to change the way that players play. They're going to slow down if they see themselves in that position. They're going to have no choice but to slow down and look to tackle first and even be second to the ball.
Yep, let the opponent take the ball. The ones that I didn't like the penalties dished out were the fines to Taylor Walker for $3,000 and Ben King for $2,000. They deliberately looked at the blokes that they were contesting against. In Luke Ryan's case, King just went straight for his head. Taylor Walker's was even worse. And I don't know why that's whether he copped a $1,000 more fine, but from where I sat on those two blokes, they should be sitting on the sidelines for a week. Theirs was worse than what Sam Wicks's was, and he got a week.
Well, they're easy ones, aren't they? If they're deliberate actions where they get time to make their move, I think they have to be penalised. The other ones that we speak about sometimes, they're split-second decisions, and I think they need to differentiate.
Sledges there. Novak Djokovic, 5-set epic against Stefanos Tsitsipas, and that is a very big slap on the back, and you reckon he's the GOAT?
I've been saying that for 2 years, Carl, he's the GOAT. He's got better records against Federer and Nadal. He's now the first of them all to have Grand Slams at two of the... He's now the first to at least have 2 wins at all the Grand Slams. The other guys haven't done that yet in their careers. He's still young enough. He's got 18. That's all that he needs is 2, maybe 3, 4, 5 more Grand Slams, and he surpasses the great Roger Federer for me.
Yeah, I'd like to see him win the Grand Slam, and the Grand Slam is getting all 4 tournaments, which I think would be a feat if he's able to achieve that. Perth Wildcats, no Cotton, no Norton, no problem for the Perth Wildcats. We'll see whether they can get it done tonight.
Who are those blokes? It's all about Luke Travers at the moment, the young kid. He's got some opportunity. When Mitch Norton injured himself, he was thrust into the point guard role, and he delivered. He's been scoring, got the 13 points. His rebounding's been outstanding. He's a development player, and I think in the future he will be heading to the NBA. That's how good he's going. Blanchfield's been good. Clint Steindl, the other one that stepped up in the second half.
What about the effort of Kaylee McKeon? A world record. The 19-year-old from Queensland, 57.45 seconds for a 100-metre backstroke, lowered the mark of American Regan Smith from 2 years ago, 57.57. Emily Seabom also put a slap on the back for her, Hayes. She finished second, and it is only the second time a athlete in the pool has made it to four Olympic Games. She's 29 and only Liesl Jones is the only other to make it to four Olympic Games.
And it's been a big comeback for her too. Didn't make the team in 2019, the world champ. So to come back and put that performance down is awesome. Can't wait for the Olympics, Carl. I'm getting a little bit excited about the Olympic Games. We had the hockey teams announced today as well and it's getting closer.
Yeah, four West Australians are in there. Slap on the back to them too. We'll talk about that a little bit more soon. For Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight experts. Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Let's have a chat about West Coast and Freo. Both winners over the weekend, Hayes.
Oh, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? We were at the game last night and the West Coast Eagles, they got there by 4 points. Down by 22 points late in that last quarter. And Josh Kennedy, he nailed the big goal. Nat Nui was outstanding as well. And Jack Redden, we got to pat him on the back too for an outstanding season so far. Their goal accuracy is playing a part. Bad goal kicking is bad football. We've always said that. But all of a sudden, Carl, you can see some green shoots coming through for the West Coast Eagles. Injury gives opportunity. And Luke Edwards was outstanding in that last quarter. Stood up, 27 disposals. Harry Edwards, not related, down back 200 centimetres. That matchup with Coleman Jones was fascinating. And Luke Foley, another one that was really good on the halfback flank and won some really good contested marks and possession.
Well, and I thought that the role that Nelson was given, he was essentially, other than the contested bounces, running with Dusty Martin. Mm. So I thought that that was an interesting situation. I reckon Josh Rotham has played some really good blocks of games now and he looks like he belongs in that football team. And, you know, I just think that with the way that Foley played, particularly early, and Luke Foley, and the use, and in the end, look, he turned over the footy a couple of times, but he went at 72% disposal efficiency. And Edwards, that you spoke about, Luke, he went at 77%. Mm. So I think that's the important part. And that last passage of play when West Coast got that goal, which involved Harry Edwards down back, was just, I think, the green shoots that you're talking about. So a really good description of the way that West Coast can now say, look at the development they're doing behind the scenes and say right now, only a couple of games in. Edwards has played about five now and a couple of games for those other boys, but maybe they're on the right track.
And Shannon Hearn was outstanding too down back. You'd have to think Kennedy and Hearn could go around again next year. That was one of the games of the season, Carl, but on Saturday, we had the worst game, not for the season, for the last 10 years. It was ugly. I wanted to go home at halftime. It was my birthday and I was subjected to that performance by Gold Coast. They were horrendous. Fremantle at least got the 4 points. No Fife, Cox, Logan, Tabernacle. That makes it better. But Alex Pearce, it was great to see him back.
It was, but what made it so bad for you? I mean, it was 3-4 to 1-8 at halftime, and like I like you, just wanted to get out of there as quick as I could.
Game was played in the back halves of both teams. They wanted to share possession, but they couldn't maintain possession because the skill level was so bad. There was turnovers, but they couldn't punish the turnover on the scoreboard. Gold Coast had some shots on goal. They missed that, but the Dockers, they only needed 4 points, and they put themselves in a really good position now. They've got three winnable games coming up. Collingwood won't be easy after today and a new coach in Robert Harvey starting after the bye. But they've been impressive with those players out and hopefully they get a few back. But Alex Pearce, he's been to hell and back. His game against Ben King was absolutely sensational.
Spoke to Matty Boyd just before the game and I said, you know, the thing that will make me the happiest is to see Alex Pearce walk off the ground uninjured. I said I didn't even care if he didn't get the ball. But he actually got the ball and he played his part and that was exceptional for him. And I think Lobb taking some big grabs just has to keep working on his goal kicking. I mean, he just flopped a couple of times really badly, I thought. So if he can become a little bit more reliable. And a couple of blokes I've been really critical on since they brought him back in Aish and Akers, both played good games. And that's what I need more of. I need to see that week in, week out. They're a little bit too up and down for me, which is the yo-yo style that the Dockers play with. But if those two blokes can lift their rating and be more consistent, it'll only help the Dockers.
Sean Darcy's pretty good, isn't he? He's building a good season.
Mate, I have said, and all the ratings tell me this, he's been as good as Gorn. He was better than Gorn this weekend. He's been as good as Grundy, and Grundy's been out for the last 3 weeks. He's kicked as many goals as Gorn, and he's kicked one more than Grundy at this point in the season. So, mate, and, you know, I know Nat Nui does a bit of this, but so does he.
Could be an All-Australian. He does that, doesn't he? He does some special
he's been good.
Some special ruck taps as well.
He's been good. There you go. We're going to have a chat to Chris May next, who was part of a big victory for Collingwood over Melbourne today.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have Chris Mayne joining us here on Sports Day after the big win today, sending off Nathan Buckley in style, his last game as coach of the Collingwood Football Club. Well done, Maney. Congratulations. How are you? Well done.
Not too bad. Thanks, guys. Yeah, look, pretty special day for many reasons, really. Obviously for, you know, the MND and Danaher and the family, and then also for, you know, Bucks, a champion of the club, and, you know, pretty, I know, special moment for him and his family. So, you know, it's been a pretty special day and one that's capped off well.
Was there anything different done by Bucks in the lead up to this game being his last game?
No, everything was exactly the same. You know, his preparation and the way he kind of puts himself, you know, head first into, you know, all the work that he does behind the scenes was exactly the same. I think he was just, you know, comments of just, you know, thanking the team and the staff. I think that was probably the different parts to build up, just being more, probably taking each moment in as it came and understanding that, you know, each segment of, you know, your last team meeting and then, you know, the three-quarter time, you know, huddle, it's probably the last one. So, and then, yeah, just the end bit there, just having the opportunity to speak to him in the room, behind closed doors, and just thank him for the absolute bottom of our hearts for the effort that he's done for this football club.
Was there any sort of questioning amongst the boys? Did you feel much responsibility for him losing his job, given that it's happened in the middle of the season?
Everything that happens behind closed doors, you know, we're not privy to. You know, we just try and work hard each day, try and dive into the work we need to do, and then try and perform on the weekends. You know, this club's been in the spotlight. It's a big, powerful club, but it's been in the spotlight, you know, all off-season, pre-season, and then during the season. So, you know, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of white noise, you know, whether that plays part on some of the players and the staff and everyone involved. But, you know, what you can try and do is control the controllables. And for us, over the last few weeks, we've been able to put really good performances together and get two really good wins on the road.
Hey, Manny, what about your personal relationship with Nathan Buckley? Because it started a bit frosty. You came over from Fremantle. You were out of the team for a year there, but you've got back in there and it looks like you built a great relationship on the outside where there's a lot of trust between the two.
Yeah, look, I had a chat with him during the week and just said from the bottom of my heart, you know, it didn't start the way I was expected to. But given the way probably both parties opened ourselves up and allowed each other to probably, you know, figure out who each other was and then to start building that relationship. And I just thanked him. You know, it could have gone two ways. It could have been that's done and dusted, or we could have, you know, worked hard and given myself the best opportunity to play, get the best out of myself and get the best out of him. And I told him, you know, there'll definitely be a special place in my heart for Bucks for that reason. And also the fact of, you know, I've been a part of his journey and he's been a part of mine. And, you know, I can always thank him for showing faith in me. We had some really good years. We nearly won a flag together. We played finals footy together. And, yeah, obviously the way it is unfolded now. And as he said, you know, everyone has their time in the game. And you both have been there. It doesn't last forever. So, you know, it's a pretty special moment. I was really pumped that I could be a part of it.
Chris Mayne stays with us after the break.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
We're chatting to Chris Mayne after the victory today over Melbourne. Hayes?
What about Jordan De Goey? Is it time for the next coach to come in and just settle him down in one position? Because today in the midfield, he pretty much exclusively played there and he had the 32 disposals. He was outstanding. Best player on the ground that I saw today alongside Darcy Cameron. But being thrown around, and you would know this, it's not easy sometimes for some players to keep being thrown around like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I think it's a strength that he has the ability to go forward and inside. I think it's just about finding that right balance. And I think for Geordie, he's continuing to work on his own game, his own style and what he wants to kind of show his brand to the AFL world. So, you know, I'll leave that to the coaches and the way they want to orchestrate the way he goes about it. But it's good to see Geordie putting some really good performances together.
That coach will be Robert Harvey going forward. Do you expect him to do much different taking over from Bucks?
Look, I'm not too sure. Right now, everything's just sinking in that, yeah, come, you know, after the bye, we'll have Harves kind of leading the ship. And, you know, I think him and the assistant coaches will get together in the playing group and then we'll discuss kind of how we want to attack the second half of the season. But I think over the last 2 weeks, I think the performances from the boys have been first class. And if we can just build on what we're doing now, hopefully we'll be able to challenge some other teams during the second half of the year.
16th, a game and a half out of 10th, mate. So there's not much difference, I don't think, between you and a lot of the other teams, particularly when you play that brand of footy that you played today. And, of course, you're going to have the Freo Dockers to come up against your old mob, where you were a dead-eyed dick when you were back here at Freo. Now, one thing that they can't do right now is kick straight, mate, and Hayes and I almost wanted to leave at halftime on the weekend when they played the Gold Coast. I don't know if you tuned in at all, but, mate, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, look, I, as you know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for Freo, you know, being a life member there, and the club gives me the opportunity to play AFL footy. So I have a lot of interest when they play. I like to stay in touch with the boys there. And, yeah, look, those things in the game happen, don't they? You know, players go through those moments and, you know, if the outside noise and the white noise takes over the mind, which I've experienced before, then the big sticks become a bit daunting. So I know they're led really well by JL and Fifey, and they'll be working really hard through the week to get it done. But looking forward to coming up against them and getting the chockies, that's for sure.
Manny, we talk a lot about goal kicking on this show and always talk about you, how you were the best kick in the competition for a period there, in my opinion, and then you lost your way a bit. Can you give our listeners some insight into what was going through your mind at that particular stage where you just couldn't get them through the big sticks?
Yeah, look, 12 and 13, really good. 14, I think it was just battling body and white noise, where outside noise comes in, and then you kind of lose a bit of technique, bit of mechanics, and then obviously the doubt creeps in every time. 15, steady again, and then probably since then I've played multiple positions where I'm not really as a forward. I think it does come between the ears, goal kicking. You know, you see most kicks, if you say hit a target, you know, 15, 20 away, they hit it, but then you put the big sticks in front of them. If you don't have a strong process that can, you know, eliminate all that white noise, the chatter, and be able to hone in on something behind the goals, then it does become a little bit different because your body stiffens up. You don't have the same kicking style, and that's where the error comes in, and you're already looking before you've actually struck the footy. So, you know, that happened to me, and I believe why I was great through those years is because I did have a process. That's all I worried about, and I knew that given the way the team was playing at the time, I was going to get more than one or two looks a game.
Chris Mayne there. We'll finish off with Kia's top seven after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Hey, as we finish off with Kia's top seven, introducing the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV.
I'm going to give my top seven rising star candidates at number seven. Tom Power for North Melbourne's been very, very good. I like the work early in the season from Lachlan Scholl. He's at number six from the Adelaide Crows. He got dropped this weekend, so I wait to see what he does over the next part of the season. At number five, he kicked three goals on the weekend in the win for Adelaide against St Kilda, and he's also got a bag of five goals in his first game. That is Riley Filthorpe. Well done to him. At four is the favourite. I don't have him that high, Nick Cox. We know he's going to be a special player. He's had a few good games, but the consistency hasn't been there just yet for me. At number three, I like the work of James Jordan through the midfield for the Melbourne Football Club. Likewise, at pick number two, another midfielder at the Giants, Tom Green, big bull on the inside. He's getting better every single week. And at number one, I've gone for Luke Jackson from the Melbourne Football Club. Been impressed with him this year, dominating in the ruck with Max Gorn. He's getting forward and kicking goals, two goals and 21 disposals today, Carl.
All right, you can go to at Sports Day WA and have your thoughts on that with your ideas, and have a challenge at Hayes if you like. Introducing the all-new Kia Carnival GUV with a SUV-inspired design and spacious seating for all eight passengers. We'll see you tomorrow from 6.